discharged into space, changing the life of one hapless duck and transforming him into a hero called Wonder Duck.
What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Crease tonight?
In the House of Crease tonight, we have Sean Hainsworth. He's going to be talking to us about his book called The Killing Machine. So check that out.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Show for independence all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your meds, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent,
cast the Craze!
Making moves on your own,
cast the Craze!
On your grind in the streets,
cast the Craze!
Join the movement,
cast the Craze!
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now, I know you want to do it. Cast the Craze. Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Vera, and I am with
George the Dreamer Medina. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. We are live tonight, and we are back from a week off. We took a little week off last week, so if you hopefully you didn't miss us too much.
If you did,
please subscribe to the channel. Make sure you subscribe, hit the like button, hit that bell so that you're notified when we go live in cases like this. We're early today, 7 p.m. in the East Coast, 6 p.m. in your coast, Sammy. But yeah, no, welcome. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And don't forget, hit that subscribe button. Well, what's going on with you, Sam? How you doing, my friend?
Oh, the world is going nuts. People getting smacked. And, you know, I'm just chilling like a villain. My name ain't Bob Dylan.
Yeah, brother. The world is going nuts,
man. My heroes are acting crazy.
I'm like, around the world.
If I so, yo, can we all just get along?
I mean, I got smacked up, bro.
That's just foul.
That was crazy, dude.
Yeah, that was crazy. I don't condone violence. You know, there's better ways to deal with disagreements or frustration with another person. Call them up, talk to them, you know, don't have to go and resort to that kind of conduct. But on a positive note, tomorrow I should be getting the books delivered, the comic books delivered to start putting the packages together for the Kickstarter campaign. And I'm just waiting on the coloring book and the guidebook, which I approved the proofs and they are en route as well. I'm just waiting for the the shipping number so I know exactly what day this week. So everybody who that first tier who just got the book, those will start being processed Thursday, because I don't know what time tomorrow I'll get the delivery. This is the coloring book that I'm waiting on. This is the proof.
Nice.
Cool. This is the old one. Look at the size difference. Look at the size difference. So this one was 8x10. This is 8.5x11. Great card stock. Really, you know, I'm excited about it. And this is the guidebook itself. And
give yourself the screen, Sammy, so we can see it bigger because you're still small.
Yeah. It ain't about the size, buddy. All right, stop acting up. Sorry to hear that, Sam.
Very sorry to hear that, my brother.
Stop looking, man. So this is the guidebook and this is the back. So some of you who got the commission sketch will get yours. I'll start working on that this week as well. Actually, this isn't the guidebook. This is the old guidebook.
You liar.
This is the new guidebook. Here it is. Bang. And so you can see the back is the proof. There's the proof. I approved the proof. This is the reason why you should always get the proofs, because it's supposed to be full color. And they sent it to me in grayscale, right? So they sent it to me in color. So everything will be coming in color. It's fire. And so this is volume one. So every four every fourth campaign, there'll be another volume of a guidebook. Hey, Arellis in the house. Welcome.
Arellis, what's going on? I got to sorry for the donation books.
No, I'll take care of all that stuff. No, thank you, though. Yeah, she's amazing. Yes, I'll take. Did you sign up for the second issue?
Talk yes. about that. That's coming. Yeah, yes. You already have that up.
Yes, yes, that's right. That's right. What did I say? Where is it? I got to find it. Hold it. Go look at it. There it is. The landing page for The Deal in My Toilet issue number 2 is up. So sign up starts now. And it launches May 31st. So issue 2 is ready to go. I'm excited about that. Again, remastered. It's fantastic. Can't wait. And but that's enough about me. We opened up with a trailer for this guy. And this one
launched Wonder Duck. Yeah, man. It's coming. It's coming. The launch page is up there. Pre-launch page. So we're launching on May 4th.
Go back to
May 4th. And if a lot of you have already reached out to me, letting me know that you signed up to the page. Thank you very much. I appreciate you letting me know that, because I want to send you guys this guy right here. It's basically what I'm going to send you right now is a PDF of it in your email. So if you did sign up for the campaign, please let me know. Either I got to serve for the, you pulled it back up. Either go to the Adventures of Wonder Duck right there on the screen, or you can find me on Instagram at Get Your Meds with a Z. So make sure that you find me there, because what I want to do is I want to send you that PDF in an email. But when the campaign goes live, and if you do decide to pledge to the campaign, I will send you a hard copy of this guy right here, cardstock. I always like to show the what I did with it. I framed it. I'm putting that up, so it looks nice. So please make sure that you do let me know. Again, we go live on the 4th of May. So yeah. I'm excited, man. I can't wait. And just the launch. What happened?
So what happened was my finger hit back button, and I was completely out of StreamYard. I had to go back in. So that's why I disappeared. Somehow it runs on its own, even though I kicked my own self out and I ended up on a blank screen. I was like, where the hell did I go?
Nice.
Yes.
Way to go. Yes. Big shout out to Arellis, who is obviously watching right now. And if you guys are watching, please let us know you're watching. Give us a little, hello, thumbs up. All of that fun stuff. But we have a fun show for you guys tonight. We're going to be talking to the author, writer, creator of The Killing Machine. And it was a good book, man. He sent us a complimentary copy of it. We read it. Yeah. You did a What's in the Box
For those had fun with that.
Yeah, if you haven't checked it out, check it out.
The coloring is fantastic. The artwork, it was, again, in the episode I mentioned that it reminded me of Cross Generation Comics. Remember when they came out? And they took what Image was doing to another level with the coloring and the art. That's what it reminded me of. It just brought me back to that nostalgic feeling.
Yeah, no, it was really, really good. Really, really good. It's a space. It's like a space odyssey. He'll tell us more about it. And now that this is on Kickstarter, Sam, what's the deal with it?
Well, Sean Hainsworth Productions, he has a website where he runs the production. We're going to ask him all the questions tonight. So we're going to dig deep into what he does and the world that he's creating and how his tentacles are crossing across the globe. So we're going to be excited about that. And that's going to be fun, too. But don't forget to join us Thursday. For the What's in the Box, the next segment. What's in the Box, the Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew, Thursday morning 9 a.m. And we actually continued the conversation that had started on the Crazy 10LS on the impact of subliminal marketing and why it's such an effective strategy. So we'll be talking about that 9 a.m. On Thursday morning, Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. Central. So that's going to be cool. Again, tomorrow night, we are live with another indie creator, JD Calderon. So join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be on that with them. And then you can catch me tomorrow night at 9 p.m. I will be on Ambien Magazine's podcast where I'll be sitting down with a bunch of creators and we're just talking shop. And we're talking about creating comics and publishing. So the subject, the subject is basically whatever we take it. So hopefully you guys join us there. And I'll put the link in the summary as well.
Yes. And one final thing before we go, I want to give a big shout out to an artist that I've known for a little while. His name is Hugo Bravo. Big shout out to him. He actually, for those who don't know, he's a painter. And one of his paintings is being auctioned right now at the Sotheby's auction house.
Muy bueno.
Yeah. Now, the interesting about the piece that he's auctioning, it's called The Art and Influence of Hip Hop. And basically, if you guys are hip hop heads from the 90s, for all those watching who maybe loved hip hop back in the 90s and remember Ja Rule the Damager, if you remember that artist, he had an album called The Sun Rises in the East. And if you remember the cover of that album, he's actually the artist who painted the backdrop for that cover. So that's who Hugo Bravo is. And his work is right now being auctioned until tomorrow at Sotheby's auction house, lot 88. So if you go to the website, if you go to Sotheby's website, check it out. Cause that's really cool. And we're going to have him on the show sometime in the future. He's got a book himself on there, spoken to him about doing so. So as soon as he gets on, we're gonna interview him, talk to him a little bit more about the process.
Aurelius, how old are your kids? Because I want to send you the coloring books, just because even though you ordered, you made the pledge for the organization, I want to send you something from me. So let me know and I'll send it to you when I send everything out. What are you laughing at?
You're just so out of it, my dude. Like, I'm giving Hugo props about his work. Hugo Bravo was a great artist, and I appreciate, because Aurelius is a big supporter of it.
It is a big supporter.
Man, you got to stay with me.
And we got to get him on the show.
Oh, you're terrible.
Yes, you handled your business. All right. Man. So with that said, I want to give a bump to the girls from Raging, and after that, we're going to come back with our guest. Yes. So here's the channel crawl, right? Bang.
Hey guys, it's great to be back. What's going on, Sean? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I like watching your intro. You guys are like the kings of Kickstarter. I just learn a lot just listening to what you guys do and how you do your rewards and everything. It's pretty awesome. I'm doing good. Killing Machine wrapped up in February. It's at the printer. I'm picking up proof tomorrow. Awesome. So rewards are going in the mail soon, and thank you so much for reading it. I really appreciate it.
I had fun reading it.
It was good. Aurelius, thank you. What's going on, Jonathan? But yeah, Sean, listen, the book was great, man, and we appreciate you sending us those complimentary copies. Like Sam and I were talking, the artwork is gorgeous, bro, and the subject matter, it's deep, my man. I like what you were talking about in there when you have that one scene with the doctor and the thing that he's creating. I'm a big fan of Frankenstein. Like, it had that Mary Shelley's Frankenstein kind of vibe going, where the monster's trying to learn, you know what I mean, as he's being created, which is very interesting, very very interesting.
Yeah, it's great you say that. My son's actually reading Frankenstein right now. So I'm reading it for high school. So I'm reading Frankenstein with him again. And I just love the book. Yeah. But yeah, no, that's really what I was going for, is, you know, that thought provoking and action packed. And the story just kind of is going to, you know, go further, get deeper in, you know, we're already 9 pages into issue 2. This one's going to keep going. And I think it's going to get a lot more fun as we get in.
Nice. Outstanding. Outstanding. So what's happened from the last time we spoke to you to now?
So what I got going on now, I got 3 comics, SHP. We got 3 comics launching. We're crowdfunding the second one right now, which is called Woodstake. And it's basically a vampire who descends on Woodstock in 1969. Woodstake. Right. I'm billing it as a comedy of horrors. I have got a, I've been working with a really great young Brazilian artist, a guy named Felipe Kroll. The style is completely different than Killing Machine. He does a lot of 3D modeling to sort of find his image, and then he paints, digitally paints. And so I'm sure we'll look at some stuff as it comes up. Now we're crowdfunding that one on Zoop. You know, and just because you guys know when you're running several campaigns, it's hard, right? Like I had Killing Machine wrapping up. I still haven't fulfilled Killing Machine, so I can't start another Kickstarter. So tried to slip this one in on Zoop and see how it's going. And it's not doing as well as I would like. I don't know if it's because, you know, it's just a new platform. People don't know about it or, you know, less familiar with it. You know, in a way, I thought a vampire at Woodstock would be an easier sell than a than the science fiction with the deep plot. But anyway, it's all good. Philippe's actually working on the last pages now. I'm going to get someone else to letter it. I got someone else to re-letter Killing Machine, and it made a big difference. Working with this guy named, he goes by the name SK, but he also goes, his name is Stephen Koch. He's a creator, produces some great stuff. And he's just been an amazing letterer. So I think we're going to re-letter this one as well, but it'll be out in about 3 weeks. So
why did you decide to go to Zoop, and then what are the benefits of being there, and what are the, I guess, the opposites of being there versus the other platforms that you used?
Yeah, so I've only used Kickstarter and Zoop. Okay. I've got another one launching, a Kickstarter launching in May. So the third comic book is called Erotech, E-R-O-T-E-C-H. And it's a comedy sort of in the vein of Silicon Valley about a startup company that makes sex robots. And so I wanted to keep that one on Kickstarter. And so I had no place to crowdfund the first issue of Woodstock Steak. Even I'm doing it. Woodstock on Killing Machine on Kickstarter. I had no place to fit it in. So I decided to try Zoop. Zoop is different, and it's interesting for creators. So they have two models. They have a 10% model and a 25% model, which meaning they take 10% or they take 25%. The 10% model, so unlike Kickstarter, you don't create your own, you know, landing page or whatever. You sort of fill out a campaign form and they create the page for you. Add-ons are kept separate from your rewards. They try to keep the tiers simpler. And you know, beyond that, for the 10%, you're on your own. So they take more than Kickstarter for being on your own. Right. At the 25% level, they do a lot more. They do more advertising. They're mostly driven by their email lists, is my understanding. Mm-hmm. And they also will do fulfillment. So, you know, that's great in the sense of if you want to be hands-off, you know, it's a good place to run campaigns. They have had some campaigns that have done, you know, really good money. You know, so I'm not sure to what degree we're just not finding our audience yet with Woodstake, and to what degree, you know, people are less familiar. It's always hard to create a new account, give your credit card to someone new, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't want to speak badly of Zoop. They've been great guys. I think it's definitely an alternative, and a lot of people are doing well over there.
Yeah, I feel like Zoop has been like almost like a very well kept secret. It's almost been like it's an exclusive kind of group that goes on Zoop, and I don't think a lot of people know about it just yet. I think Kickstarter and Indiegogo are like the big, big monsters in the crowdfunding game. Although there's so many, there's GoFundMe, there's so many of them. Zoop is another one, and like you said, Sean, sometimes people just don't want to give their information. I got to sign up to another thing. Sometimes, you know what I mean? It's a little tough. But you're doing. It's decent. It's not bad.
It's not bad. It's okay. And the one thing I forgot to mention, and sorry about the phone. It's either the machine's going to pick it up, or my wife's going to pick it up. But come on, somebody pick it up. They only do comic books. Zoop is only comic book crowdfunding. So that's kind of interesting because it's just a niche for crazy people like us. If I can include myself, I'm slipping myself into the crazies there.
Yeah, man, join us. It's always fun on this side. But Woodstake, it sounds like an incredible title. I really like the concept where you've kind of included both things. Is that an ongoing series? Tell us a little bit more about the story. I know you mentioned, you know, the premise of it, but go deeper into it. What are you expecting to do with the series?
Yeah, so similar in a way. So I wrote this one up as a screenplay as well. So I've got, you know, the full arc of the story here. And this one actually did pretty well at the Austin Film Festival. I went down and, you know, was able to take the script around, talk to people. I had a stage reading of the first five pages with, you know, some actors, which was fun. But yeah, it's the trick with this one is I got the idea, but then it's like, okay, yeah, it's a funny concept. And, you know, there's a lot of possibilities for a vampire with a bunch of hippies, right? But I really wanted to ground it and make it a real story, you know, with characters that you care about and that go the distance. So, you know, this first issue, I'm planning it out to be seven issues again. So, you know, a full story over a number of issues. This issue is called The Road to Woodstock. And we start sort of in 1927 with the vampire's first appearance, because I have to explain, why is there a vampire in upstate New York, right? And, you know, all the backstory so that when we get to Woodstock in 1969, that not only my hippie characters are established, but also there's a good sense of the vampire and his history and why he's there and all of that. So, but yeah, and I my vampire is very much sort of a classic vampire. I've been using the tagline, classic vampires, classic rock, because I'm using... you know, very much a Bram Stoker inspired vampire. So there's some shout outs to Bram Stoker in there, but I'm not messing with the vampire genre. I'm really just taking a classic vampire and throwing him in with a bunch of hippies. And, you know, the other tagline I've got is, who doesn't want to see a vampire trip on LSD? You know, so.
No, it looks good. I love the cover, man. Is that, was that painted by your artist, or did you get a different artist to paint that?
Yeah, no, he did everything. So wow. he painted the cover. And yeah, he's got a great style. Mm-hmm. I really think he might take off. Hopefully he doesn't take off away from me before
he finishes
the series.
yeah, that's
he's
always...
Really, he's great. He's got a great look. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it looks awesome. It looks awesome. So some of the perks that people can get if you go onto Zoop. I found that you go to zoop.gg. For those who are looking for zoop.com, you're not going to find it.
Yeah, I can't. I lost my access. I would have to restart Chrome in order to pull the screen up. So if anybody wants to share the screen, I'll show it.
Yeah. So what you call it? Let me see if I can share mine for you.
Yeah, this is my first GG. I don't know what
GG is. Yeah, it was my. I was like GG. Okay, because I was looking for looking for zoop.com and. Let's see, where are we? Where's Zoop? Let me see if I can do that. I don't know if you can see it, Sam.
I'm waiting for you to share.
Okay.
Yeah, well, while you're bringing it up, so like I said, they separate out the add-ons. So the rewards are really mostly just comics, right? So the nice thing is I'm offering the SHP bundle, so you can get both Woodstake and Killing Machine, you know, both PDFs and both print editions. And I think it's only, I'm trying to keep the prices pretty low. Like the PDF version is only $3 on Zoop. So, you know, the idea here is just, I want to get on this first issue. I just want to get people aware of the story, you know, put it in people's hands. Also, Philippe, the artist, has got a lot of followers in South America, and you know, I'm probably not going to be shipping too much down there. So I wanted to make it easy for people to get an affordable digital copy, you know, for his fans.
Right.
So yeah, we. But most of the reward tiers are just you know, comics, and then we have some collector's editions that are printed with sort of a metallic pearl color cover. Some are signed, you know, that sort of thing. But those are the primary rewards.
Oh, cool. Hold on. I'm still trying to just get access in here. For some reason, like my.
No wonder nobody's signing up. It's so easy to get to.
Well, I think, you know, and so that's a great point you brought up. You think it's because it's still in its infancy that...
I honestly don't know. And like I said, I don't want to talk out of turn because I don't want someone to think, oh, I could do Zoop, but it's not ready for... prime time. You know, this is, so, you know, I'm a young, company, you know, a fairly unknown creator. And Philippe is a young, fairly unknown artist, and this is an issue one. So it's a hard, you know, it's hard to get started anyway. And there are some campaigns that have done very well on Zoop. I think if you do go to Zoop, you really got to drive your traffic there, you know, yourself, so that, you know, that the people are getting to the site and seeing it. I haven't seen a lot of pickup from their email lists, you know, coming. They drive a lot of traffic, and they spend a lot of their effort marketing the ones that they do the 25% for. So for the 10% ones, you're kind of on your own. So I think if you have more of a following, you know, if you're doing like your second or third and you've got your fan base out there and you can direct them, it probably would work out pretty well.
Yeah, I got you. Sam, I'm just going to restart mine so we can share his. All right.
Yeah, I can't restart mine.
That's all right. Yeah, no, keep going. I'm going to restart.
You guys had a nice vacation.
Yeah.
Tried to get back in the groove a little bit.
No, I didn't have a vacation. I was working nonstop. But we lost George. Oh, there he goes. So so talk about Sean Hainsworth Productions.
Yeah, so you know, basically I had a bunch of script ideas out there and I just decided I was gonna take the leap produce my own stuff. I can't draw. And I had the scripts. And so I was able to kind of bootstrap myself into producing these three comics with other artists. And, you know, it's nice because they have very different, styles, art styles. So like you mentioned, The Killing Machine, you know, has a really specific, really, you know, sort of high color, high gloss, you know, science fiction look. And this one has got a more kind of rough and ready, you know, kind of painted look to it. The third one, Erotic, has got a very different look as well. So I'm just trying to, you know, get these stories out there. I think they're good stories. Hey, I got another subscriber. It went from 13 to 14.
All right.
Go crazies. Yeah, thank you. Whoever jumped in, I love it.
There you go.
But yeah, I'm just trying to get these stories out there and having a ball, you know. It's just you know, making a comic is great, you know, and seeing these stories come to life and collaborating with, you know, artists that just bring so much to the story. I can't imagine the story without Philippe's art at this point. So it's just really, really fun.
Nice.
Should have warned
you. So that's a trailer. This is a trailer that Philippe did.
Do you mind if we play it?
No, not at all. No, it's great.
All right, let's see. Let's open this up. Oh, great. There we go. What's going on?
Yeah, take off the mute.
So the tagline for Woodstock is 3 days of peace and music. So the tagline for this is 3 days of peace, music, and blood. There's a lot of Woodstock references in there. I mean, I know that's a much older demographic at this point, but if you do know the artists that performed and, you know, some of the details of the festival, I worked really hard. Like all of the artists perform at the right time. I had, you know, really good sense of the schedule and a lot of the, you know, the things that happen, you know, the bad acid where the brown tabs. And of course, the vampire feeds on someone who just dropped a couple brown tabs and then ends up tripping himself. But there's a lot of references to Woodstock. I tried to keep it pretty accurate. If you look, there's a couple trailers. There's this one that Philippe made, and then I also work with Inked Marketing. They've been helping me with the campaigns, and they created one. And they actually have a musician who did this soundtrack that's very much Jimi Hendrix. Like it's not Jimi Hendrix, but it sounds a lot like Hendrix. So there's a couple trailers out there. You know, they're on my YouTube channel. I think at least one of them's on the Zoop site, if not both of them.
That looks great, man.
Yeah, so we're doing $8 for the print edition of Woodstock Steak. We're doing 14 if you want to get the bundle with Killing Machine, $7 each. We're doing the collector's edition and the signed collector's edition. And then the bundle of the collector's edition and the signed collector's edition of both. And then there's one tier that has all the add-ons. Usually they try to keep the add-ons separate. Right. So that's got, there's a SHP Comics hardcover journal. There's some stickers, there's some playing cards, and a 6x9 poster of the cover.
So all of this you get in this one bundle?
Sean? You get both signed collector's editions of Woodstake and Killing Machine, and all four Woodstake add-ons.
Oh yeah, that's great, dude. Awesome. So if you're new to Zoop, Sean, how does this work? So now you click on it and then it'll take you to the next window where you just
where you check out. And like Killing Machine, I keep saying Killing Machine for Kickstarter. Like Kickstarter, they don't collect your money until the campaign's over.
Gotcha.
I think it runs pretty smoothly. To be honest, I have not, and I should have, I didn't contribute to a Zoop campaign before I did this. And that's always a smart thing to do, is to go through it from the other side. That's kind of my bad. I don't really have the full experience, but from what I understand, it's pretty straightforward. It's the same kind of thing, and your credit card, you know, will get collected at the very end.
That's a great deal. I'll tell you, that's a great deal right there, Sean. $14 for both of these books. That's a really good deal. The print editions, you know.
Yeah, I was trying to keep things cheaper, and then the shipping cost, you know, I only have to, you know, one package, and it's two comics and not much more than one comic. So I think the shipping charges are only like $6 or something. So I'm trying to keep it as affordable as possible.
Yeah. And I will say the Killing Machine is 32 pages. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of, it's a nice thick book. So you get a lot for your money as far as that goes. Woodstake, you're saying you're still finishing it up. How many pages is that?
Same 32. So yeah, 28 interior and the four covers. Philippe is, we just went over the changes to like the last page he's working on today. So
yeah. Any chance you bring this into Kickstarter?
Yeah. I think what we're going to do is after we run the campaign for Erotic in May, we'll probably do Woodstake issue 2 and Kickstarter at some point. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. Erotic, I love that name. So for those who don't know, Erotic, it's E-R-O-T-E-C-H, right? That's how you spell it. That's the play on those words. It's very good. Yeah, no, this looks good, Sean. Very nice, man.
So tell us about your strategy for promoting and getting the word out about your creation.
Yeah, so that's, you know, I'm learning as I go. And I've been thinking a lot about this, and I actually probably need to sit down with other creators. I'd love to hear some, you know, what other people are doing. Oh, just by the way, if you keep rolling down, there's some pages of the artwork, so you can see a little bit more. Perfect. Oh, and yeah, and that's the, I don't know if that one will play. That's the trailer that Inc. did with the Jimi Hendrix soundtrack, Jimi Hendrix Soundalike, which is pretty awesome. Oh, I don't know if that one will play.
I don't get anything.
Yeah, I'm not getting the audio either. Yeah, there we go. You just barely hear it. Anyway, they got a musician. He's picked up a guitar and riffed this out. It's pretty awesome. If you go to the site, you can watch these trailers. I'm actually learning a lot about this. I'm thinking about, you know, both print and digital. Digital, I'm not sure. I've looked at, you know, Global Comics. I've looked at Comixology, which is now Kindle. I'd love to hear what other creators' experiences are with those kinds of platforms. At this point, I'm really just trying to find readers. I want to build an audience for these series because they're going to go, you know, 6-7 issues. So I'm hoping, you know, at this point, it's less about selling as many copies as I can as about kind of getting it out there and promoting it. I'm actually going to be doing a couple of cons. I'm going to be at the Wicked Comic Con in Boston April 9th. I'll be in person there with print copies of The Killing Machine. And then I'm going down to MegaCon in Orlando, and I'll be there with all three. I'll have print copies of Killing Machine, Woodstake, and Erotic down there. So, that's always a great chance to talk to people and meet fans, you know, or potential readers and future fans, hopefully, and, you know, get comic books into people's hands. But I'm just starting to sit back and look at this and say, how do I, you know, what is the best strategy for getting this out there? Because as you know, there's just a lot of comics and a lot of great comics, a lot of great indie creators. So, you know, how do you find your people? How do you find your crowd? And I'm still trying to crack that nut.
Yeah, no, I think in this world of social media, it's you know, back in the days it was easy, right? You go to a convention and you find your fans, and you know, you sell them the book, and that's it. In social media, in the world of social media, you have so many things. Like, look, you know, we were used to seeing Kickstarter and Indiegogo. Now there's Zoop. So yeah. You got to, you know, it's like you constantly have to keep changing, and your strategy has to be different. But I do love the pages, and I might have scrolled through them too fast for those who are watching. But these are beautiful, man. Look at them.
Oh, by the way, the next time we do this, tell me to turn my stupid phone off before we start. Yeah. So if you roll up, it's a little hard to see. Oh my God.
Nice.
That's my mom. That's my 90-year-old mother.
Oh God. So go, mom. So bad.
She never leaves a long message, so I don't even have to get up. But yeah, so this scene on the left is actually, if you roll up, I think there's another couple pages up there. Yeah, so this first scene is sort of 1927. Some of the characters here are characters whose kids, you know, take it forward. So this guy with the pistol down there is the sheriff of a small town in upstate New York. His son is the sheriff during the Woodstock Festival. The guy on the left is Marius von Helsing, you know, obvious, and his son. They changed their name so that, you know, if the vampire ever comes back, it might be a little harder to find. So his son's name is Alexandru von Halen. So that's having a little fun with that. Nice. So the first eight pages are in 1927, sort of setting up the vampire and the backstory. And then if you roll down the next two pages, take place. This is in Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco, you know, an anti-war protest planning session over in Berkeley. So one of my characters, John Harper, which is kind of a play on Jonathan Harker, which is with the character from Bram Stoker, is a wannabe rock journalist, you know, sort of desperate to start the next Rolling Stone. So he goes to the festival to try to get, you know, the interview that's going to break him through. And the guy on the right, Artie, is an anti-war, you know, protester who lives off a trust fund. They're sort of long-term friends. But these are the two characters. And then if you scroll down one more, the third character, this is more vampire. This is sort of when the vampire returns in 1969. But there's one other hippie character, which is John's girlfriend, Nina. She's down below in that middle panel there. I got my three hippie characters coming from the West Coast, and then the vampire set up, it's pretty fun. I have to say, like, it's bookended. The first eight pages and the last eight pages are just flat out vampire scariness, and in between we've got setting up some of the characters and you know, the hippies and the situation and all that sort of stuff, and then the next issue we'll get into the festival.
Dude, this is great, man. How much research went in? Like, do you have Easter eggs from the time where, like, people absolutely growing up in that time will know? Yeah.
Awesome. Absolutely. If you know the festival, there's a bunch of fun in there, a bunch of Easter eggs in there. I did a lot. I mean, you know, I was born in 66, so I was 3 years old when the festival took place. But, you know, it cast a long shadow, you know, just culturally over my generation as well. And, you know, we all watched the Woodstock movie a bunch of times and stuff. So I was familiar with the festival, but I really had to go back. I read the book by Michael Lang. Michael Lang was the guy who organized the festival. I read his book, and I got like maps of the festival and figured out where can their tent be and where can this take place and, you know, and who's playing at that time. And it was actually kind of fun because, you know, there's a scene like around midnight on Saturday where something exciting's happened. And I looked down the playlist and it was Creedence Clearwater playing Bad Moon Rising. You know, so awesome. You can't beat that, right? So oftentimes the music just really reinforced what was going on. But, you know, so when Bad Moon Rising is playing in the comic book is the time when it was playing at the festival. I didn't move any of the music acts around. And it, of course, ends with Jimi Hendrix because he closed the festival off on Sunday morning. So,
Dude, this looks fun, man. This looks like a lot of fun. And yeah. So it's a 7-issue mini series. It starts issue 1, ends in issue 7. And are you going to collect that in maybe a trade or something?
Yeah, I would love to. For both of these, yeah. I really want to pull the whole story together as a trade because I think they'll be fun to read start to finish, you know, as a complete thing. Now, that's really my awesome friend from Brazil who's just doing an incredible job on this.
You know, I was going to ask you because period pieces, I think sometimes they can be tricky. Right. This gentleman looks like a young man. He obviously was not alive in 1967, 69. So to ask him to draw that era, do you send him images from the era? I mean, he's from Brazil, so he's not even from the States. So like, what is that collaboration like when you're doing a period piece like this?
It's a great question. And the answer is yes. Like when he first did Hate Street. So I lived in San Francisco for 10 years. I actually lived right on, you know, just off Hate Street for 10 years. So when he sent me Hate Street, I was like, what is this, Geneva? You know, it's like some European city's got these like fancy light fixtures and stuff. Like, no, none of that stuff is there. You know, so we, you know, he's great. Like, he's mm-hmm. just really, like, this was just his first version of it. And I sent him a lot of images and I was like, okay, these light poles become telephone poles and these things go away and we're going to add a bunch of fog, you know, over here, you know, because and you know, it's really tricky with names of buildings and stores. The Hate, you know, for people who don't know, you know, the Hate was the ground zero for the Summer of Love mm-hmm. in 1968. And it was just, you know, initially all the hippies were there and they had discovered the Hate and they had their own little world, the Jefferson Airplane, Grateful Dead, they all lived out there. And then it got discovered and all these, you know, tourists came in and it just became way too much and all the real hippies moved out. So by 1969, it was turning into kind of a crime infested, you know, drug infested, you know, and the whole neighborhood went down. A lot of the famous businesses went out of business. You know, there's a famous head shop, the psychedelic head shop that went out of business and stuff. And the Hate didn't bounce back until the late 70s. And there was a real effort to bring it back. So this is in that period when it was, you know, getting pretty seedy. And so, yeah, I mean, I tried to figure out what street we were on and tried to make sure that no street signs were inaccurate, although I didn't want to make it too accurate because, you know, I didn't want to try to, you know, say you were exactly here, but I also didn't want someone who knows Hate Street to look at it and say, no, that's not even close. So, yeah, we did a lot of work on that. You know, there's a scene in a gym in Monticello, upstate New York, and you know, sending pictures of gyms from, you know, from U.S. high schools. And he's been great about adopting everything, you know, payphones, you know, these guys calling mm-hmm. on a payphone.
Yeah. I mean, this image just up here in this page on the upper left-hand corner, just that opening shot, you know, puts you in that era, you know, that place. And so I think he did an amazing job with the artwork.
Yeah, and it also keeps the mood of the horror film, right? Like right. It's still got that, you know, and the fog is not at all out of place in San Francisco. Like the fog blows through that neighborhood anyway. So the kind of blues and the fog and all of that's pretty realistic, but it keeps the mood.
Yeah, and even this is so creepy right here with the guy in the moon. Like this, he really sets a tone, you know? Yeah. It's really, really well done. So kudos to Philippe. He did an amazing, amazing job. And you have some testimonials here, some reviews that you've had. So, and you have stretch goals. So they also have stretch goals.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think we're stretching on this one. That might be a bit of a stretch.
So, but you're saying, and then you also have a timeline here. So the first issue will be completed by March 15th.
Yeah, we're a couple weeks off of that. You know, this is the problem when you don't update the site yourself, right? You got to email them to update things. So, yeah, we got pushed off a couple weeks on the final pages, but it's not far off. It's like really not far off.
So, who will be going to the printer
in 2 weeks?
Gotcha. So, Zoop updates itself, like they update themselves.
You have to send them an email and say, will you do this? And in fact, I wanted to send an update to my backers. Like you do, like one of the great features of Kickstarter is sending updates to your backers, and it automatically emails the updates out. That doesn't happen here. Like I asked if I could generate an update, and if you roll down, they just added the update to the website, but it's not emailing your backers.
Gotcha.
So you know, it's yeah, it's a little more frustrating in that regard. Yeah. It's hard to you're not able to edit the site yourself.
Gotcha. So yeah, so some of the control is taken out of your hands a little bit.
Yeah.
In this. But listen, the campaign looks amazing, Sean. Like, I mean, the book itself looks like a fun read. It looks like a lot's going to happen in the story. I mean, you know, you have 7 issues that you've got planned. But yeah, dude, this looks great, man.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I hope people find it. And, you know, like I said, $3 for the digital, or drop a buck in the tip jar, and, you know, just keep tabs on us, because I do think this is going to be a fun one. And, you know, I'm calling it a comedy of horrors because there is a lot of humor in the screenplay. Right. But in this first 28 pages, it's not a lot of comedy. It's a lot of horror, you know, so it's not really until you get to the festival and you start introducing the hippies, because hippies add humor to everything, right?
Right. Oh, no, that looks good, man. That looks good. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, fantastic. In fact, so what's your experience like? You're a new independent creator / publisher. Top 3 things that you feel like are big wins for you, and some opportunities that you want to work on and try to fine tune.
Yeah. So, let's see, big wins for me. I do think, partnering up with Inked Marketing really helped, because it's not just a marketing company for me. It's like, you know, just a lot of creator advice, because there's a lot of creators over there, and they've done 50 Kickstarter campaigns, and, you know, they're the ones who looked at Killing Machine and said, you might want to reletter this. And, you know, I really, really appreciated that, because I think you guys have read it. The lettering looks great. The new lettering looks really great. So hooking up with somebody that can help shorten your learning curve, that was a big win for me. I think the things I'm still learning, like I was saying, is how to find your audience. Like, social media is a real mixed bag. You can get a lot of clicks on social media, but it's hard to get a lot of conversions off of social media. I think, you know, people are kind of on Facebook, flipping their phone. They see something they're interested in, they tap on it, but then they're not really high quality, you know, leads in terms of people who might really be interested in reading your comic book. So I'm still trying to crack the nut of, you know, how to find and let people know who might be interested in this kind of stuff, how to find it. So I, you know, admire, like I said at the beginning, I admire your campaigns. I love the show. It's great to be on the podcast. So connecting yourself with podcasts, that's also something Inked helped me do, was, you know, with the NSC Roadshow and hooking up with podcasts. So there's just so much to learn. You know, actually, it's funny, when I got this thing back and I had to get a print ready copy, you know, I couldn't, you know, I didn't realize how much work went into it. I ended up just teaching myself InDesign and, you know, loading it up in InDesign and putting out the print ready copy with the trim lines and the bleeds and the, you know, and so sometimes you just got to roll up your sleeves and figure it out. But it'll work, now I feel like so empowered. It's like, now I can create my own print ready copies in InDesign. So everything is a learning curve. Yes. But I just, you know, for me, I'm just trying to stay focused on what I'm trying not to do is get too wrapped up in the business side of things. And just, I think these are good stories. And if I can just tell them, if I can just get them out there, hopefully I'll find my readers.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to give you the screen. I wanted to give us the pitch, you know, tell everybody why they need to support your book and where they can find you and where you're going to be. So here you go.
All right. So the book is Woodstake, A Comedy of Horrors. It's a great mashup of humor and genuine horror. It's a vampire, a classic Bram Stoker inspired vampire descending on Woodstock, the music festival in 1969. It's got terrific artwork, painted artwork, by a young artist named Philippe Kroll. It's going to be a 7-issue series. It's going to be a lot of fun, scary, a good story, and hopefully you're really going to care about the characters. I think there's a lot of good stuff in there to come. So please come on by to Zoop, zoop.gg. You can find the campaign for Woodstake. You can pick up my earlier comic, The Killing Machine, which we talked about last month on the show. I've got another one coming up, Erotic, comedy of sex robots, based sort of Silicon Valley-esque. So you can reach me at SeanHainsworthProductions.com. I'm Sean Hainsworth Productions on Facebook, and I've got Facebook pages for both The Killing Machine and Woodstake.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, thank you for coming on Catch the Craze again. And we wish you a lot of success with Zoop. And again, it's, you know, I get the struggles because it is, I mean, everyone's, you know, Kickstarter is still the premier location. And then Indiegogo is second by default. So Zoop's got a while before it starts getting that global recognition. But, you know, hats off to you for having the courage to go there and give it a shot. And but check it out. The link's in the summary, guys. Go visit his website. Thank you again, Sean, for being on our show.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure. I love being on your show. Thank you so much.
Sean, man, you're welcome anytime, man. Anytime.
Erotic, next month.
Oh, look at you already setting it up. All right, my brother.
Hey, we're just gonna have to black out some of the images because they get a little racy.
Uh-oh. Yeah, there you go.
All right, Sean. Have a good one, my man.
Take care, guys.
Peace.
Yes. So that was Sean Hainsworth. And again, awesome. Go check it out. Links in the summary. Zoop.gg and Sean Hainsworth Productions. Everything is in the summary. So check it out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, no, it was good, man. Good interview. I like Sean, man. He's got some really good stories. You guys should definitely check him out. Help him fund on Zoop. Hopefully he'll bring it to, you know, maybe either Kickstarter or Indiegogo and get some more followers that way. Because, you know, the artwork looks amazing, bro.
Yeah. And I think, and again, I mean, he hit it on the nail. I mean, social media, I mean, unless you have a niche or you've already established a fan base, it's, you know, you're one of many guppies in an ocean trying to figure out your place, right? And, you know, there's just so many options out there and there's so many distractions out there.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at, I mean, we talked about clickbait. Look at the whole Will Smith incident. How many artists have capitalized on that situation by drawing their own version of the slap, right? And so people are just looking to capitalize on a moment. So when you're trying to build something that's long term, it's going to require a lot of time and a lot of heartache, a lot of stress, a lot of self-doubt, frustration, you know, questioning yourself, why am I doing this? You know, all those things happen. I mean, you know, I cracked a bottle of wine today and I haven't had a glass of wine in a month. I was so stressed out today. Right. And so it happens, it happens. And, but, you know, my best advice to anybody is if you love it for all the right reasons, just keep pushing forward.
Yeah.
Your moment will come. You just don't have any power in when that moment comes. As long as you're grinding, you're putting in the work, you're putting in the hustle, and it's coming from a good place. Eventually the universe will say, you know what? I'm going to throw you a bone. It's your moment. Take advantage of it. But don't miss that moment when it comes. That's it.
Yeah. I think when you're doing this and when you're self-publishing, when you're doing indie work, there's always going to be obstacles. I mean, we saw obstacles back 15 years ago when we were doing it. You know,
we still
mean?
See obstacles.
You know, no, but I think every single, I guess, generation of indies are going to have their obstacles. And so it's just something you got to get used to. It just... You know, you gotta get used to it and just, you know, plow through them, yeah. However way you can, whatever you way you can. And the older you get, the tougher it is sometimes with technology and what changes. You know, you talk about NFTs now. 15 years from now, that's probably going to be the norm. Like you don't know, and so you constantly have to keep trying to evolve and change and adapt. And it's a good thing. I mean, look, Sean just said, "Yo, I'm just going to learn how to use InDesign and get this thing print ready for myself." Like you always have to keep, you know, teaching yourself and evolving as a creator to get stuff done.
That first comic artist that goes into the metaverse, I'm going to snuff him.
Yeah, they're going in.
I said, stop, you're moving too fast. Come on, man. It's crazy. The world's moving faster. I mean, look at it. I mean, I just, a month ago, I just bought Clip Studio Paint. Paint Studio, and I took to it like a fish to water, you know, because I've used Photoshop, I've used all the other applications,
right?
So all I needed to do is figure out where everything is and then create my shortcuts, and once that would happen, and I'm like, poof, you know. But you know, I think you can't be afraid of technology, you can't be afraid of change, you got to embrace it, you got to jump in head first, you know, and then learn as you go. Fake, you know, I'll give a perfect example and then we're going to cut this segment. But when I was in the retail sector, I was recruited for a position that was five levels above that I've ever done, right? This was a regional level. I was always store line, right? And I was like, and for a function that I haven't done in years, it was for security, right? Regional, multi-state, hundreds of people, millions of dollars, right? And I was like, well, I haven't done that. I haven't done security in over a decade because I went into operations and sales. And now they've recruited me to run this. And I'm like, so I went into 9 interviews, 4 months long, all these assessments, and they offered me the job. I thought they were crazy. I was like, I'm not qualified for this. They're nuts. They didn't know what they're doing. They're giving me the keys to this. And all I did was bank on my people skills. I said, okay, this is what I'm responsible for. I have to negotiate contracts. I'm sure there's an attorney that I have to partner with. Who's that person? And I just figured out who all my partners were. And I learned as I went. So while inside I was sweating and peeing in my pants, and like, but outside you would never know because I had a stone cold face and I was in there, I was in business. So what I'm saying to anybody out there, the world is changing, the world is scary, technology is moving faster than we can catch up. Embrace the change, learn as you go, make the mistakes. You're gonna be better off because you faced it head on. Don't be afraid. Take the moment when it comes, even if you don't think you're ready for that moment, because it might not come for another decade. Take that moment, embrace it, and then ride the wave. And if you fail, you failed on your terms. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, man. That's it. That's it, brother.
With that said, I am. Thank you, Aurelis, and thank you, Johnny Syphax, for joining us tonight. I'm Sam the Crazy Man there.
George the Dreamer Medina.
And peace. We are... out. I just gotta find the outro. There you go. I love technology.
It's just easy. It's not crazy.
Acquiesce. No, I was talking about my friend Acquiesce. I met him. Oh. Say my name.
Right. This is what you were thinking. Oh,
crazy. He described me. He said, "I'm the idiot."
You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze.
Catch the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.